The reason why people go to libraries is not necessarily to see books. I think it's much more for the sense of community and added value to their learning experience that they receive at the library.
Museums and libraries have served an irreplaceable role in our communities as curators, as gatekeepers, as guides, teachers, and harborers of all the world's knowledge. Well, a nearly irreplaceable role. Many would argue that the web is in charge of holding on to content now, and that ones and zeros are replacing the old brick-and-mortar institutions in our communities. But how is the digital generation engaging with libraries and museums? Is their role just changing? Could these institutions actually be more important now than ever before? This week, David Weinberger spoke to someone with on-the-ground knowledge. Susan Hildreth is the director of the Institute of Museum and Library Services. She comes from a background of running libraries from Seattle to New Jersey to San Francisco. And as director of the IMLS, she helps support the nation's 123,000 libraries and 17,500 museums.
On the IMLS site, it says that it's, and I'm going to quote, it's, quote, dedicated to creating strong libraries and museums that connect people to information and ideas. So as you take up this challenge, what are the particular obstacles these days to making that connection?
Wow, that's a huge question. I think that one of the challenges for IMLS is that we really are here to serve and strengthen the capacity of museums and libraries, which in turn will provide learning opportunities and community engagement, civic engagement for our users. I think the point of view currently in Washington is conveying what kind of impact all our federal agencies are having directly on our citizens. And of course, we are having a positive impact. We know that, but it can be challenging sometimes to tell that story when our primary audiences are museums and libraries. Some of the challenges that libraries and our museums are facing are, you know, people are getting so much of their information through a wide variety of sources, through mobile devices, the publishing world, the journalism world. They're all really changing so radically. How do institutions like museums and libraries keep pace with our ever-changing information society to help convey information to interested parties, to preserve information, to make information accessible? I mean, in a way, libraries and museums are focused on the continuum of information in a variety of formats, through the earliest of objects to the most current of ebooks. And how do we make that available, accessible, discoverable? That is a challenge, but I think if we take advantage of all the wonderful opportunities and discoveries and inventions that are happening all around us, we can make it happen. I think we're in a society right now where we must rely on crowdsourcing, on everyone's ability to create, and to discover and to make information accessible. I think our institutions are coming from a place of knowledge and a gatekeeping role, and the world no longer accepts that role. So we have to assume the role of navigator, teacher, trainer, facilitator to provide information and resources to our users. And although I think we've made great progress and in moving to that primary role, changing from gatekeeper to facilitator, I still think that's a challenge in some of our institutions.
Well, so let me ask you the blunt question. If it's changing from gatekeeper to navigator, anybody can be a facilitator of that. Anybody, just about literally anybody who has an internet connection can provide links, a channel, or build a site that curates and conditions and contextualizes. What is the special skills and capabilities that libraries and museums and the people who run them have to offer in this environment?
That's a challenging question. what do we have to offer? I think, first of all, museums and libraries have established a sense of community trust that I think, although I don't want to rely too much on that, and I don't want I don't want museums or libraries to have that as a false sense of security, because many people are reliant and trustful of whatever is on the web. But I do think in our communities, at the community level, libraries and museums have a great level of trust, and also have the unique role, particularly in this case, I think the library has the unique role and ability to bring together a variety of resources or points of view, and also serve as a community convener. So anybody can, you know, pick a topic and, you know, write about it on the web, but I think that libraries and museums are unique in their ability to bring together a variety of points of view and their knowledge of what's happening in their communities around certain topics. By coordinating or integrating a variety of sources of information, they can provide a great benefit to the community and, in a way, pre-vet topics so they are ready for community discussion and engagement.
What do we know, or what are we seeing already about the generational change, the younger users of museums and libraries? How is this manifesting already?
You know, it's fascinating to me that I think we are appealing to younger users. I think institutions that are willing to engage in conveying their content, resources, whatever, through mobile devices are really getting a leg up on other institutions. But last year, while I was working as the library director of the Seattle Public Library, we were involved in strategic planning, and we did a large online community survey. It was interesting to me. We were fortunate enough to have teen librarians on staff, and they really got out the teen audience to complete the survey online. But it was amazing to me that when we looked at the knowledge of all the services that the library offered by demographics, you know, age characteristics, our teen audiences knew the most about what the library was offering and were taking advantage of a variety of activities, from book groups to creating their own reviews of books for other teens to doing digital literacy for people in their community. So I find that young people are engaging in libraries and museums, but I think the way they're engaging, or they're most interested and most successful, when they can be involved in creating what is happening at the institution and not necessarily just be the receiver of information, although I'm sure they want to use that in some cases for school assignments or whatever. But I think the way to engage youth is to ask their opinion, respond to that opinion, be proactive in working with them, and also use their knowledge of technology and the current information world to help others who may not be as far along as they are.
So you've got both museums and libraries under your purview. Do you find that the shift that we are going through is pulling the interests of those two sorts of institutions together, or is it driving them apart, or simply shifting it, or none of the above?
The marriage, if you will, of museums and libraries, probably, I don't know, 13 to 14 years ago now at the federal level, was, I think in a way it was a marriage of convenience, not necessarily absolutely strategic, but I do think that at this point, at least, in where we are in society, museums and libraries both have a significant role as in contributing to the learning of our communities. And I also think when we look at libraries and museums and we look at how information in our world is provided in a variety of formats, I think that museums and libraries are the key resources for content in our communities. And we are really different resources or different collections of content. And I think what we have in common is that museums and libraries want to make that content readily available to the public. They want to curate the content so that they can increase the value of it, contextualize it. And they want to help individuals learn about their local history, learn about a wide variety of interests, provide a venue for lifelong learning. So in terms of enriching our users' lives with content, I think that, in fact, may be the key organizing principle that libraries and museums have, particularly in a digital age. We have some museums that have engaged with the digital world quite readily. I think we have others that have tended to some extent, shy away from it because they are concerned that if objects are available digitally or in the virtual world, then individuals won't come to view those objects face-to-face or in a physical environment. And I strongly believe that discovering collections, museum collections virtually, will increase individuals' interest in going to observe the actual physical collection in many cases, or at least drive more traffic to the museum. So I think the library world has probably because of our dedication to print content, which has so rapidly become electronic, I think libraries may be a bit more advanced than museums in terms of working with digital content, but I do think both worlds that know that that's a very important mechanism for us to invest in digital content to continue our relevance in society.
Do you feel that just as digitizing content is likely to drive people into museums to see the originals, that digitizing library content is likely to have the same effect or likely to keep people out of libraries because they can get the ebook at home?
Well, you know, I would say probably within the last 10 years, the pure, you know, ready reference information game has gone virtual. It's gone to virtual reference services that most public and academic libraries have invested in or providing already. So I think that the reason why individuals come to libraries is much more for contact with their community members, opportunities to get help on certain kinds of learning activities, group study in some cases, programming. There's a lot of public programming going on at libraries. So I don't think that individuals are necessarily coming to libraries to look at physical objects. They may in the case of local history or specialized collections, but that's not, to me, the more information that's available easily electronically serves the purpose and the goal and mission of libraries. So, you know, in the Seattle Public Library, again, where I recently was for the last several years, we had on an annual basis probably 14 to 15 million visitors every year, and about half of those visitors were virtual visitors that came to our website. Now, they may very well have come through the doors too, but we had tremendous use virtually, and we had tremendous support in the community. So I think with the ever-changing format of information, the reason why people go to libraries is not necessarily to see books. I think it's much more for the sense of community and added value to their learning experience that they receive at the library.
Do you have the same idea about what the Digital Public Library of America might be, that it could be a place that you go to get a book, or in addition, it could be a place in which you go to engage with others about the works in the library?
I see the Digital Public Library as a very equitable resource that would be available through all our institutions of learning and would provide all of our users and learners with great access to information. But I also think the flip side of the Digital Public Library, and something that most libraries will be dealing with over the next 10 to 20 years, is the managing and stewardship of what I'll call now legacy collections, which really will be print collections, and in some cases, various formats that have been superseded by other formats in terms of electronic connections. So it could be that in the long run, the Digital Public Library of America provides access to digital content, and also probably through some kind of regional storage facilities would provide access to print materials if individuals should need those. I don't think that DPLA has thought through to the end game of how we will handle all our print materials once everything or practically everything's digital. But I think it's a really interesting thought that we could, that the Digital Public Library would also ultimately be a provider of print materials.
So I should note that DPLA is very much in a formative stage. But it's fascinating to hear you suggest that, so I'm going to put this maybe a little differently, but that the digital is might encompass even the real.
And we haven't talked about that. As you said, it's in the formative stages, but I do think that as more and more of our intellectual content becomes digital, we still do have a desire and, in fact, a mantle, if you will, to preserve some of our paper content. And, I don't know if everything's going to end up digitized, and there may be a reason that somebody, as you say, might want to see the paper object. So I have in the back of my mind a grand plan that we will at some point in this country have regional storage facilities that encompass the collections of many, many institutions, including public libraries and academic libraries and other types of libraries, in some kind of regional setting, so that we can certainly decrease the cost that we're spending on actually storage of multiple copies of materials, yet still preserve the printed word so that we can have that for generations to come.
And these regional centers would enable somebody who needed to see a book to actually see it. So.
And it could very well not be a facility that's necessarily open to the public, but be a regional storage facility that continues to have distribution mechanisms to other entities, whatever they are, if they're museums or libraries or community centers where that kind of service is being provided. Who knows what will happen in the next 20 to 50 years.
Well, Kevin Kelly has been talking about the need to keep specimens in the way that biologists keep mm-hmm. the original specimen of the first beetle that was found of that species. So, well, that's fascinating. Thank you very much.
Good.
Susan Hildreth is the director of the Institute of Museum and Library Services. You can find out more about them at imls.gov. Library Lab, the podcast, was brought to you by the Harvard Library Innovation Lab at Harvard Law School. The theme music comes Creative Commons licensed from Brad Sucks, who you can find at bradsucks.net. We're interviewing a number of innovators, scholars, and publishers about the future of the written word. If you like this episode, why not follow along with us at librarylab.law.harvard.edu, where you can find out more about our work, including info on today's guest, join a discussion, and share this podcast with others. And now you can also find today's podcast, as well as all the previous episodes, available in MP3 and AUG formats and subscribable in iTunes. This show was produced by me, Daniel Dennis Jones, and David Weinberger, with the support of the Harvard Law School.